in a world of division, strife, and noise.
And many have wondered if there is a path to peace in our homes and neighborhoods, communities.
How do we find real peace? This hour, we explore true, lasting peace and the important difference between peacekeepers and peacemakers. Our host is Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
I'm Boyd Matheson, host of Inside Sources on KSL News Radio. Welcome to this KSL News Radio General Conference special, The Quest for Peace. In an age of rage and an era of division, many have wondered if there is a path to peace in our homes and neighborhoods, communities, and country. With angry voices and derisive rhetoric dominating debate and the demonization of opponents and the weaponization of words, it seems that the pathway to peace has been blocked, broken, or completely erased. One world religious leader, Russell M. Nelson, president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has called on members of the church and the people of the world to become peacemakers. Following the model of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," President Nelson has issued a clarion call for people of faith and people of no faith to pursue peace. During his landmark April 2023 General Conference address, he declared that peacemaking by peacemakers is the way.
The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire, no matter how difficult the situation. True disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
President Nelson went on to say that peacemaking, along with pursuing contention, are choices that everyone makes.
Contention reinforces the false notion that confrontation is the way to resolve differences, but it never is. Contention is a choice. Peacemaking is a choice. You have your agency to choose contention or reconciliation. I urge you to be a peacemaker. Now and always.
The path to becoming a peacemaker is often misunderstood. We too often focus on outward behaviors rather than the principles of peacemaking. Over the next hour, we will hear from leaders in government, organizations, and various faith traditions as we get to the essence of peace. Peacemaking is a quest that will test the very best within us. So let's begin with a look at the difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Peacekeeping tends to focus on the outward behaviors. For example, following a military conflict, peacekeepers are generally deployed to control behavior or to ensure that no new fighting begins. History has shown over and over again that peacekeeping is difficult, often temporary, as it controls the surface behavior without actually solving the underlying issues that ignite anger, contempt, and distrust. An easy way to compare and contrast peacekeeping and peacemaking includes: peacekeepers are passive, while peacemakers are bold. Peacekeepers avoid, while peacemakers engage. Peacekeepers minimize conflict, while peacemakers maximize crucial questions and conversations. Peacekeepers are content with surface control. Peacemakers dive deep to uncover source problems and misunderstandings. Peacekeepers function from a position of weakness, while peacemakers function from a position of strength. President Nelson described the challenges of our contentious day and how we've moved away from peacemaking to accept speech that neither keeps nor makes peace, usually promoting anger, perpetuating distrust, and preventing inspired solutions from emerging.
Civility and decency seem to have disappeared during this era of polarization and passionate disagreements. Vulgarity, fault-finding, and evil speaking of others are all too common. Too many pundits, politicians, entertainers, and other influencers throw insults constantly. I am greatly concerned that so many people seem to believe that it is completely acceptable to condemn, malign, and vilify anyone who does not agree with them. Many seem eager to damage another's reputation with pathetic and pithy barbs. Anger never persuades. Hostility builds no one. Contention never leads to inspired solutions.
I recently sat down with former Ambassador Ronald Newman. He had served multiple times as a United States ambassador, including to Afghanistan. He referred often to the need for diplomacy. Diplomacy, like peacemaking, is often thought of as a passive exercise of pretending to be nice. Ambassador Newman described it differently.
Diplomacy is not just about making nice. It's not about being mealy-mouthed. It is about finding ways to deliver the message that don't insult or injure the person you're talking to so that they won't talk to you again. Now, you know, compromise is not a dirty word, but it's also a question of what's the bottom line for us.
President Nelson also outlined a similar path to peacemaking, and becoming peacemakers, saying this.
Let us show that there is a peaceful, respectful way to resolve complex issues, and an enlightened way to work out disagreements. There's room for everyone. However, there is no room for prejudice, condemnation, or contention of any kind. I bless you to replace belligerence with beseeching, animosity with understanding, and contention with peace.
President Nelson concluded by emphasizing that peacemakers understand that how we speak to each other really matters.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others, at home, at church, at work, and online, really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way. Please listen carefully. If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report or praiseworthy that we can say about another person, whether to his face or behind her back, that should be our standard of communication.
Peacemaking really happens with a new standard of communication, because how we speak, the words we choose, do matter when we're pursuing peace. When we come back, we'll pick up our conversation on the quest for peace as we dig deeper into how our speech and actions contribute to peacemaking. I'll share powerful insight from Bishop Phyllis Spiegel from the Episcopal Church of Utah, who will discuss how hospitality and shared story create space for peacemaking. And then we'll talk to Rabbi Joe Charnas, who will explore the need to redeem our dialogue along the pathway to peace. You're listening to KSL News Radio's General Conference Special, The Quest for Peace. I'm Boyd Matheson, host of Inside Sources weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. We'll be right back.
Enjoy more of Boyd Matheson's depth and thoughtful analysis of the news and social issues. He hosts KSL's Inside Sources each weekday from 1 to 3 on KSL News Radio.
I'm Boyd Matheson, host of Inside Sources. Welcome back to this KSL News Radio General Conference Special, The Quest for Peace. As we continue our journey on the quest for peace, I want to share a portion of my conversation with Phyllis Spiegel, the Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Utah. Bishop Spiegel is a true peacemaker. She walks peaceably with people from across faith traditions, social and economic status, political philosophy, and lived experience. She does so with great ease because she understands there's actually an easier way. There's an easiness to the way of peacemaking, even though the way is not necessarily easy in and of itself. Bishop Spiegel fosters peace by beginning from a position, a unique position, of hospitality and service to all.
Hospitality, I think the first thing that is primary is to see the other person. right? How are you hospitable to someone if you don't see them and not presume what they might need, but to actually say, is there anything I can offer to you? It's as simple, we were talking as a staff yesterday, that whenever you see somebody sitting in a chair, you know, in the lobby area, if they don't have tea or coffee in front of them, any staff member, not the hospitality staff, but any staff member, you know, what does that look like? Yeah. And then we got into this great conversation about, because the next thing you're going to realize is that person sitting there probably has a really great story in their life, or what they're doing there that day, or what hopes, you know, what's going on in their life. And so hospitality, just that offering of, hey, can I hold that door for you? That moment to connect with somebody then can lead to deeper relationship.
Now, I don't know very many people who are thinking about peace through hospitality. I love that mindset. I especially appreciate that her hospitality leads to an opportunity to share story. Peacemakers pursue peace by better understanding other people, and the best way to understand another person is to hear their story. Contempt is unlikely to fester or foment with personal understanding of whether and where the person is actually coming from. Far too often in our race and chase as a society, we miss opportunities to truly listen to the stories of the people we interact with. Hospitality and story lead to a change of heart. Heart changing is also an arduous and difficult path towards peace. Change of heart often begins with a different kind of dialogue, where we explore, where we reflect, and ultimately redeem our conversation from contempt and put them on the path of peace. Rabbi Joe Charnas has become a dear friend. He is a peacemaker. He's a teacher. He's a student. Rabbi Joe, as he likes to be called, shared with me the beginning of redeeming our dialogue.
In the meantime, until our hearts are transformed, which how is a longer discussion for another time, but until that ultimate transformation, my thoughts are, and this is what we try to have in our religious dialogues with people with from who we have a difference with, what we try to do is let's begin by exploring and reflecting and redeeming our speech first. Because, as it says in Proverbs, people often quote it as life and death are in the power of the tongue. Mm. It's a famous proverb for Proverbs 18. But the Hebrew is actually death and life are in the power or the hand of the tongue. It starts off with death for a reason.
Mm.
And we're seeing a manifestation of that today. So the answer is what we see in the book of Psalms in chapter 34. It says, who is the one who desires life? Loving days to see good. But this idea of desiring life and wanting to see good.
Yeah.
It goes on to say, here's the one. Guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceitfully. And that guarding, that word to guard is used of very precious aspects of our lives, of our heart, of our mouth, of our vineyards. We need that guarding, that protecting of our tongue, because In life, the tongue is what often heals, and the tongue is what often divides. And in Proverbs, in terms of wisdom, Proverbs is wisdom language. And there's a beautiful proverb from Proverbs 15. It says, Marpe lashon eitz chaim. A healing tongue is a tree of life.
Peace is almost in every instance, it requires healing, and healing often comes through words, the words we choose to use. As President Nelson described it, contention is a choice. Peacemaking is a choice. The words we speak toward those ends truly matter. You're listening to KSL News Radio's General Conference Special, The Quest for Peace. I'm Boyd Matheson, host of Inside Sources, weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. When we come back, we'll continue my conversation with Rabbi Joe Charnas, and we'll talk about what it means to take that healing tongue to another level on the pathway of peace.
In a world of division, strife, and noise,
many have wondered if there is a path to peace in our homes and neighborhoods, communities.
How do we find real peace? This hour, we explore true, lasting peace and the important difference between peacekeepers and peacemakers. Our host is Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
I'm Boyd Matheson, host of Inside Sources. Welcome back to this KSL News Radio General Conference special, The Quest for Peace. Continuing my conversation with Rabbi Joe Charnas, he framed it in terms of this path to peace, this way we get to a higher level to have a healing tongue, was based on the words of a psalm about how that healing actually begins.
Well, it's from the book of Proverbs in Proverbs 15, and it's Marpe Lashon Eitz Chaim, a healing tongue. Some translate it as a wholesome tongue, or a soothing tongue, or a gentle tongue. But it's a tree of life. Mm. And so the first question that we all have to ask ourselves, and this is speaking to all of us, and for those out there who want to talk about it's the other party that is all at fault, you're right. The problem is the other party is us half the time.
Mm-hmm.
It is always both. It is always us, never just them. And so the first way to redeem our tongue is by redeeming our tongue and not condemning the tongue of the other.
Mm.
And ask yourself, is my tongue bringing healing?
Mm. Yeah.
We might have a dispute.
Differences are okay.
A dialogue doesn't need to turn into the demonization that it often does. And it takes reflection and it takes exploration and it takes honesty to say, I actually need to speak in a way that is more honoring of you, because you are a human.
Yeah.
A human being just like I am. And if I can have again this reference in my mind that despite how we want to get to this noble end, if I assume you have that same noble end in mind to whatever the problem is, then our difference is over the way to solve it, not that you are a demon against solving the same problem.
Redeeming our language, our own language, rather than hyperventilating and condemning the words of others, is where the path to peace really begins. As the rabbi suggested, true dialogue doesn't require demonization, and it doesn't even require us to agree. Differences don't require personal, pejorative-laced language. We can do it different. Returning to President Russell M. Nelson of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints' April conference address on becoming a peacemaker, he gave a lighthearted example of a serious issue on the pathway to peace, pointing fingers, placing blame, or assuming that others, they, them, those guys, need to change will never create the change required to pursue peace.
At this point, you may be thinking that this message would really help someone you know. Perhaps you're hoping that will help him or her to be nicer to you. I hope it will. But I also hope that you will look deeply into your heart to see if there are shards of pride or jealousy that prevent you from becoming a peacemaker.
President Nelson is right. Peacemaking begins with a look in the mirror. So the quest for peace, as we've been discussing, truly begins with a look in the mirror. But it also must include a look to our homes and into our communities. Ibo Patel is the head of Interfaith America and is currently an impact scholar for the University of Utah. His work centers on both interfaith work and also exploring how shared service can provide higher ground in order to move to common ground. Rather than being bogged down by political or social identities, civil society provides opportunities to break down barriers and lock into shared spaces, shared interests, and shared opportunities.
The great genius of American society is our civil society, our civic culture. And what that does is it brings people of diverse identities and divergent ideologies together in activities with a common aim that guide cooperative relationships. Think Little League. Think a swim team. Think a debate team. Think a 4-H club. Think about a YMCA. You've got people of a range of identities and a range of ideologies coming together because they think baseball is important. Or they think that 4-H activities are important, or they think that chess is important. And because they have that common aim that they are engaged in through a concrete activity, they are building cooperative relationships. And you simply cannot have a diverse democracy unless you have a robust sector that allows people to engage in those kinds of activities. And that's what we have in America, and it's time to strengthen that sector, to recognize its genius, and really to lift that ethic up to the rest of our lives.
I love the way Ibu Patel frames identity and how our political identities often just wash away when we're working side by side in shared service, that coming together in community provides that better path toward peace. Now, President Nelson described how the way we respond to those we may disagree with can actually be the beginning of a better way to build bridges of understanding for the future.
If a friend on social media has strong political or social views that violate everything you believe in, an angry, cutting retort by you will not help. Building bridges of understanding will require much more of you, but that is exactly what your friend needs.
President Nelson further explained how we must put down our weapons of war online or in person. Those weapons are often our words, and setting those down is how we make progress in our quest for peace.
Now is the time to cease insisting that it is your way or no way. Now is the time to stop doing things that make others walk on eggshells for fear of upsetting you. Now is the time to bury your weapons of war. If your verbal arsenal is filled with insults and accusations, now is the time to put them away.
Camille Ann Johnson, General Relief Society President in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, called on the women of the world to stand with conviction while also avoiding contention.
I wish our sisters were paying attention to what President Nelson was saying.
Yeah.
And if we would listen to him and if we would follow his counsel, he knows what we need. Mm. He knows what we need in anticipation of this upcoming political season. And so he counseled with us in April to be peacemakers. Mm. I remember when he said, if there's anything virtuous, lovely, of good report, or praiseworthy, you should say that. And if you can't think of anything to say that falls in that category, he didn't say
Stop.
It quite this way, but keep your mouth
yeah.
shut. It's harder than it sounds.
Yeah.
And as we try to express our beliefs, which are important, we have an obligation to speak up and speak out. As women of the church, that's something that we've been asked to do.
Yeah.
But to do it in a way that doesn't invite contention, but must be given with our conviction, is something I'm certainly working at. It's something we can all work at. And I'm so happy to have received that prophetic direction and that prophetic invitation to do better at that.
I love those comments from President Johnson. She came in the studio as we had that conversation, and she did describe how the women of the world really do have a unique capacity to bring about peace. And she was very clear to make sure that the women of the world understood that it's not about not having any convictions. Convictions are important. That's the way we actually build the society we hope to live in. Doing so without contention is the test and the challenge for all of us all around the world. Now, last week, C. Shane Reese was inaugurated as the 14th president of Brigham Young University. I thought it was most poignant that in his remarks, he called on students, faculty, and administrators to create an environment of peace.
For all who enter our doors, a BYU education should be spiritually strengthening, intellectually enlarging, character building, and it should lead to a life full of learning and service. This is a critical time in the history of Brigham Young University. Unfortunately, we work against a societal backdrop where discussion and dialogue are being replaced by contention and monologue. As we embrace our unique institutional identity, we will foster at BYU a unique learning environment that will empower us to be peacemakers in an ever more divisive society.
That responsibility to be peacemakers in an ever divisive society requires us to look at each other just a little bit different. I think one of the underlying elements for being a peacemaker, not just a peacekeeper, is reverence for life, reverence for our fellow travelers here on planet Earth. Reverence is something that we're losing in our society, and people who lose the capacity to feel reverence are in danger of losing a great deal more. As I said, as a society, we've lost much when it comes to reverence over the last several decades, and especially over the past year. Reverence for life, reverence for others, reverence for principles of justice and equality, reverence for freedom, all have been eroded by erroneous, egocentric thinking and the cancer of contempt. And contempt always kills peace. When it comes to reverence, we simply cannot afford to lose much more. Several years ago, there was a tragic shooting of Breonna Taylor by law enforcement officers in Louisville, Kentucky. It's part of a long overdue, crucial conversation for the nation. One of the officers involved in that tragedy was charged criminally. The charge for one of the officers was first-degree wanton endangerment. Now, Kentucky statute provides a definition for the charge. And the definition is extreme indifference to human life. I think there's a lesson in that definition for all of us as we strive to become peacemakers. Extreme indifference to life is the opposite of reverence. Indifference isn't just about disregarding danger for another person's safety. Indifference is also reflected in the attention we give to others and the value we place on others' opinions, life experiences, and perceptions. Too often, it's easier to be indifferent and fill our lives with pleasant distractions than it is to lean into reverence and respect for others, especially with those we encounter who look different, think different, or live different than we do. I remember the passing of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It sparked many commentaries about her unexpected friendship, her peacemaking relationship with Justice Antonin Scalia. The two spent their careers at opposite ends of the philosophical spectrum, but showed the nation that respect was the path to not only understanding, but more importantly, to peace and to friendship. Back in 2016, when Justice Scalia passed away, it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg who paid tribute to what she called her buddy, with a nod toward their shared love of opera. She wrote, "Tenor Scalia and soprano Ginsburg sing a duet. We are different, we are one. Different in our interpretation of written texts, one in our reverence for the Constitution and the institution we serve." I love that framing. One in reverence. Reverence overcomes indifference. Reverence overcomes contempt. Reverence is part of the path in the quest for peace. We need to get to a time where we can have more of those kinds of relationships and those kinds of connections in our society, in our communities, and in our homes. We'll step aside for one last break. I'm Boyd Matheson. You're listening to this General Conference special, The Quest for Peace, on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back.
Enjoy more of Boyd Matheson's depth and thoughtful analysis of the news and social issues. He hosts KSL's Inside Sources each weekday from 1 to 3 on KSL News Radio.
You're listening to KSL News Radio's General Conference special, The Quest for Peace. I'm Boyd Matheson, host of Inside Sources weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. As we close out our program, it's important to recognize in this quest for peace, how do we become peacemakers? We also have to look at the opposite end of the spectrum. Anyone can incite anger, fear, and frustration. Those negative base emotions rarely take individuals, organizations, or communities upward or forward towards peace. Insight, on the other hand, is hard. Because it is about peacemaking. Insight takes courage to cultivate, along with patience and humility, careful consideration. Insight always elevates. So this idea of insight, I-N-C-I-T-E, versus insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T, is really the difference between going towards contempt or moving towards peace. As you look at those in terms of that context, the difference of those two words come to us as we watch protests transform from peaceful and appropriate demonstrations into dangerous and even destructive events. It's important for all of us to recognize our role of, are we inciting anger, fear, frustration, and contempt? Or are we providing space for peace where insight, vision, and forward movement can actually take place? Judge Thomas Griffith, the former justice on the D.C. Circuit, often referred to as the second highest court in the land, sat down with me a few weeks ago for an interview. We discussed the Constitution and the miracle of Philadelphia that brought forth both the path to peace in the new nation and became the model for preserving peace around the world. Judge Griffith and I also discussed the peacemakers themselves in Philadelphia, the founders of this nation, and that model, that character that they showed and demonstrated that we need more than ever in our contentious times.
Bridge building is a lot harder than wedge driving.
Yeah.
It requires more creativity, more energy, more thought and imagination. But I think it's the only way. I think it's the only way out. I don't think we're left with any options. You know, I've quoted this to you before, but when George Washington wrote to the Continental Congress back in September of 1787, transmitting the draft Constitution, he was trying to explain to them why it was that a couple of months before this project looked like it was dead, like the Constitutional Convention was going to dissolve without any success. Yeah. And yet 6-7 weeks later, it succeeded. And Washington explained it. I'll get pretty close to the quote here. He said, "The Constitution is the product of that spirit of amity, mutual deference, and accommodation that the peculiarity of our political circumstances rendered indispensable." And it's that last phrase, rendered indispensable. There was no other way forward in the summer of 1787 except through the spirit of amity, mutual deference, and accommodation. I think that's a pretty good call from our greatest president, our first and greatest president, the one who's responsible for creating that Constitution that can apply to us today. Spirit of amity, mutual deference, accommodation. These are indispensable because of the peculiarity of our own political circumstances.
Yeah. I love the fact that the miracle of Philadelphia also required a lot of effort from those peacemakers, from the founders of this nation, that amity, friendship, mutual deference, that respect of being able to listen to each other, and mutual accommodation of getting to compromise, that that is all part of the process. Amity, mutual deference, and accommodation were the seedbed, the foundation of a path towards peace. Again, to settle the peace in the land, but to become the standard of peace for the world over for hundreds of years to come. And that's part of the challenge for all of us, is to become that kind of peacemaker. If we can look at our fellow travelers here on planet Earth with amity, mutual deference, and accommodation, a lot of the anger, fear, and frustration in our lives will give way to peace. And we won't have to worry about peacekeeping because we will be peacemaking. My friend and New York Times bestselling author of Crucial Conversations, Joseph Grinney, made a comment on my radio show one time that really grabbed my attention. He said he's done a great deal of work over the years in South Africa. Joseph noted that in the nation's regular polling of its people regarding race relations, there was a question that they would always ask that would transform everything. The question, in the last 6 months, have you had someone from another race over for lunch or dinner? Think about that on the path to peace. If each of us had someone over for lunch or dinner who didn't look like, believe like, or live like we do every 6 months, imagine the insight such interaction could create and the difference that it could make on our path to peace. That's a quest and that's a test worth taking up today. I want to conclude with President Nelson offering a vision of the difference that each one of us could make if we went beyond just trying to keep the peace in our homes, in our neighborhoods and communities, and actually became peacemakers.
Brothers and sisters, we can literally change the world, one person and one interaction at a time. How? By modeling how to manage honest differences of opinion with mutual respect and dignified dialogue.
We can all be peacemakers, now and always. We won't change the world overnight, but we can begin today to make all the difference in the quest for peace. I'm Boyd Matheson. Thanks for listening to this KSL News Radio General Conference special, The Quest for Peace. And as always, as you go out into the world today, make sure you see something that inspires, say something that uplifts, and do something that makes a difference.